You are listening to the 1420 Sports Podcast, four beer with a sports talk and a whole lot more, with your hosts, Brent Radlinski from the Yankee Tavern North and Dave Van Robies from the Dutch Oven. Both of us are in Lethbridge, Alberta. Let's get into it.
1420 Sports Podcast, show 100, and I don't even know, 38, I think it is. September the 21st, 2021. Dave, you had a grown-up weekend with the boys that turned into a not-so-grown-up weekend, the way things work out. You're in your 50s now. You're all having a good time. How was the weekend, my friend, and how are you feeling?
It was excellent. The weekend was excellent. Three Alberta boys went to go visit a BC boy. Well, we didn't visit. We all joined forces in Windermere, British Columbia. The weather didn't cooperate, and we had a pretty big yard game extravaganza, like bocce and washers and coob. We had that ready, but it rained all day Saturday. And then, you know, I can't speak for all my friends, but I just kind of got
inebriated,
day drunk and stoned. I was definitely, I was more stoned than drunk.
Yeah.
Like that, and that's the fun. Right. We're like, so I was just working a buzz, which is perfect for, we got a 2 hours of yard game in, and then it started raining again. And then we just played cards and watched college football and drank some beer and solved some world's problems.
How has the gathering progressed over the years, health wise and everything else? They're more achy bones and Tylenols and Advils and A535 and everything else. Is there just, because I got a story, a segue, Dave, how, what I'm getting into. Like, how has it progressed in the last 10 years, 20 years, as you're in your 50s now compared to when you were 30s?
I'll say this for a fact. I didn't, if people were taking Advils and joint pills and what have you, it wasn't in my eyesight. But I did notice during the day, and especially around supper time, and myself included, there was a lot more bottles of water involved than there usually is.
There you go.
Just people just doing a little bit of maintenance. Water is the body's lubricant, and we all know this.
Well, you need to don't let improper hydration spoil your vacation, Dave. It's very important.
You think you should make a t-shirt out of that.
There it is. 1420 words to live by.
Hydration is, what was that?
Don't let improper hydration spoil your vacation.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, that t-shirt. Go ahead.
I'm fairly certain that's not a Brent Radlinski original. Anyways, the NFL schedule continued on this weekend, second weekend of the season. You got seven teams at 2-0. You got seven teams at 0-2. And I think it was the very first time we did a show together about this time last year, Dave. We said every team in the NFL is 8-8. It's what you do in between that you get a win, a loss, and you have a good week, a bad week. And it's kind of turning out that way. You got 7-2-0, 7-0-2. You'd rather be a 2-0 team, because a 2-0 team since 1997, I think, is 68% guaranteed to make the playoffs. 0-2 team, I have it written down here, is 12% to make the playoffs. When you start 0-2 in a football season, the old butthole's got to start clenching a little bit.
Yeah, it does. And like you say that, like when you have football, is such its own beast and animal. These games mean so much. The relief that Aaron Rodgers don't give a shit. He just goes out there and balls every time. And I don't think he really cares what fan thinks. He's just going to let his game speak for himself.
He got lucky. He's playing Detroit last night. Detroit did that.
But that's 1-1 now. Like in 0-2.
Yeah. No, I know.
Like,
yeah.
Like
they don't ask how, they ask how many.
It's big, especially after first week loss. No one must feel better than Tennessee going on the road and beating an opponent like Seattle. So Tennessee is now 1-1 after getting just fist pumped by Arizona last week. Like, that was embarrassing. And then you have a team like New Orleans who pounded Green Bay, and then they lay an egg against Carolina. It just shows you that. Take a breath. Take a breath. One game does not a season make.
You know, out of those seven teams, though, Dave, you got three of them in the same division that are 2-0. Obviously, that isn't going to work. Out of these seven teams, what is the percentage that they're going, that these teams will go? Okay, percentage. There's seven 2-0 teams. How many are going 16-0? Right off the bat, you have three teams that are going to play each other no matter what. So that takes up two of them.
No, Tampa Bay, I would say, has a 50-50 shot at undefeated. If you look at their schedule, it is sick easy. It is so easy. It's they have the Rams in LA next week. And then after that,
Rams are pretty good. But yeah.
No, without a doubt, yes. Yeah. But the Tampa Bay Bucks have the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. Like it's awful. You're not gonna believe it. How
does Tom Brady fall in this warm pool of butter every year?
I have no idea.
I would just like some of his pixie dust sprinkled on my ball sack and see where it goes, because it just seems to just, okay, well, here we go.
It's amazing. Not that he's not accomplished, and I'm not taking anything away from Tom Brady for a millisecond. All I am saying in this discussion we're going to have right now is that you're not going to believe this schedule they have. So they beat the Cowboys on night one. They beat the Falcons, and they're coming up on the Rams. Okay, so I'm just going to run their schedule. I'm not going to tell you where and when. Patriots, Dolphins, Eagles, Bears, Saints, Washington football team, Giants, Colts, Falcons, Bills, Saints, Panthers, Jets, Panthers.
They lose two of those.
Maybe to the Bills, and then a fluke one. Like, I don't know who they lose to.
Miami.
Whatever. But, like, isn't that a ridiculously easy schedule? That's my only thing,
Dave, is that the NFL is so – it's so level. Every team's 8-8. It depends what you do with those other – the back and forth. It's so level, and it's so – anything could happen week in, week out, because you have seven teams also at 0-2 and everybody in between. So how many teams that are 0-2 are going to be 0-5? Probably one, probably two. Like, no one's going – it's tough to go 0-16. The Jets, the Giants might.
The Giants are decent. The Jags are terrible.
The Jags – Herb's not winning a game this year. Herb's not winning a game.
And Miami's pretty terrible too. Houston's not as bad as we thought. The Jets are worse than we thought. And like the Jags, I didn't give them any credit anyways.
See, Houston's kind of a surprise, and it just goes to show that maybe, you know, paying that much money for a quarterback, you can maybe usurp that and not do it, because without Watson playing, they're well, whatever.
They're 1-1.
But they're 1-1. What would they have been with Deshaun Watson? 1-1.
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Well, none of us know. That's what we talk about on a podcast and everything else, when we watch guys like whoever on TV. But
I would like to, you go to the power rankings, and I watch that. I don't watch. I just click on the click weight and power rankings and blah, blah, blah. And then my Denver Broncos 2-0 with two convincing wins, covering the spread in both wins.
Yeah, but
they're still only ranked 11th.
Who'd they play?
Well, whoever they put in front of them.
That's all you can do.
That's all you can do. What do you want them to do? Beat them twice?
You can't beat Phantoms.
You can't beat Phantoms. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, all they can do is beat who's in front of them, and that's what they're doing. And I'm proud of them for doing it.
No, it's better than being 0-2. 2-0 is better than being 0-2, no matter what sport you're in. And games you win in September mean a lot in November, December. And it's just what it is.
So Minnesota's 0-2, losing two games by 4 points.
They're probably a better team than a 2-0 team right now.
Are you telling me they're better than the Denver Broncos right
now? No, I didn't say the Broncos. I'm saying that there's a very good chance that there is an 0-2 team right now that might be better than a 2-0 team who didn't play anybody.
And that's not,
you know, I'm getting like, I'm
not, that's not untrue, right? Like the schedule does play into a record, and like, we don't really know really what's going on until 8 games in.
Do you think 8's the teeter totter point?
Well, for playoffs, if you're like 0-8, then obviously you're fucked. But,
I just mean for judgment of your team. Like, there's a lot of people from, no matter what sport it is, you talk baseball, you talk hockey, you talk football. There's a lot of people who know going into the season, okay, we are a borderline playoff team. We are borderline third of the division team, whatever it is. People know you're not fooling sports fans.
Exactly. Right. You know, and then also too, like, that's nice about football. You can look at the schedule and sit and think, and then after a couple of weeks, you can even get a little bit more what's a possible win. What's not a probable loss. And it's like, you know what, if we get through this stretch and if we're 5-3 after this stretch,
yeah,
I think we're in. But then, like, because you see your schedule, you know, you have it tough, but like there's tough stretches of the schedule. There's like, when you have your interdivisional games, and some of those are on the road, there's some of those games you would much rather have at home. And that's what worried me about Denver the first week in New York, because Denver doesn't play overly well on the road. And
yeah, look, we did it way back in August, I think, or could have even been July. We did our college football teams. You picked Michigan. I had USC. I had USC beating Stanford. They lost. And then I had them losing in Washington State. And just because of the way it usually works out, and it's 2-1 either way, I had it picked that way. And I'm just a nobody, fourth-rate podcast host from Canada who knows nothing about anything. You can pretty much pick it. You can look at the schedule in football, and you can pick wins and losses. And if you get one right, you'll usually get one wrong throughout the season.
Yeah, there's always those games like if we win this one, we're actually for real.
Yeah,
like you can kid yourself all you want, but then you just look at, there's that game on the schedule that is like, this one, if we're a real team, we got to win this game.
Yeah.
Whether it be on the road or whatever, it's this is the teams we have to beat.
Dave, out of Atlanta, Minnesota, Detroit, the Giants, Indy, Herbs, Jaguars, and the Jets. Is there a chance that, because this year would be the first time ever, there might be an 0-17 team, because the first year there's ever been 17 games.
Yeah, right.
Is there... one of those teams, if you were to lay money down in Vegas, pick two right now. We'll write it down. We'll document it. And we'll revisit later on. What two out of those seven have a chance to go 0-17 to make actual history?
Give me that list one more time. And you got
Atlanta. Atlanta wins games. Minnesota, Detroit, the Giants, Indy, the Jaguars, and the Jets. Pick two.
The Jets and the Falcons.
The Falcons?
They're awful. They are friggin' awful. When you have an old quarterback that might
squeak out a game.
No, but here's the thing. When he doesn't have protection, he's not mobile anymore. And when you have no... Julio Jones anymore. You don't have a money target. Carolina is good. They're 2-0. Tampa Bay is really good. They're 2-0. And then who else is in their division? Carolina's 2-0. I think Atlanta's has a chance. Here's the thing. Detroit has a better record than Atlanta at the end of the year.
Ugh. Maybe.
But the Jets are awful. Jets are the worst.
The Jets are going to jet. Detroit's going to Detroit, and that's just the way it is. Anyways, that's our take on the NFL after week two.
Oh, my bad beat. I didn't tell you about my bad beat.
Sorry. Yeah, you told me about that off the air there. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
So in my fantasy league this, I was winning by 30 points after Sunday's game. The guy was playing had one guy playing on Monday night. And I had a 30-point lead.
That's a lot.
And the fella that he had playing on Monday night went by the name of Aaron Jones. Oof. That fucker went off, and I lost. I had such a bad beat.
What's your record now?
0-2.
You're 0-2? So yeah. you're not making the playoffs. You have a 12% chance to make the playoffs.
I lost the playoffs. I started 0-4 last year, and I lost, and I missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker. Jeez. So you can understand how I'm willing to give an 0-2 team. But I had him and I had two of the three top scorers of the week in the entire league.
Yeah.
But we were playing each other, so I had to lose. Oof. Oh, it was a bad beat. Aaron Jones, one fucking
and you were probably cock of the walk on Sunday night, bragging it up how you're gonna do this and do that.
Well, I don't brag. Like, who am I gonna tell? I'm gonna tell you guys. Who else am I gonna tell? It doesn't matter.
I don't know. You got some the burner account or something on Twitter.
You're burning things
up. I don't know.
I know.
Fantasy football guys are funny. They can't wait until somebody votes something in their fantasy pool. Nobody actually gives a fuck, but whatever.
Well, this is the first time I've talked about it.
I think it's great. I wish I was in one, but I never, like we said before on the show, I find it too distracting to watch games because I'm watching stats and not games.
But this is the thing because of mine.
I'm highly competitive.
We drove home. It's a 4-hour drive, and so I had no football exposure, and then I had shit to do when I got home, and then I fell asleep on the couch watching the Sunday night game, the Baltimore KC game, which was
a good game. I tuned into that one. I tuned into that one on Sunday night.
That was
between the Mets and the Phillies. I think it was. Yeah. Bouncing back and forth. But anyways.
And so I knew on Sunday, and then like even on Monday, I didn't watch the game, but I knew I got robbed. I got robbed. It was a bad beat.
Anyways, so if you're down in Vegas this week or if you're a degenerate gambler, like some people that we know, bet on the Jets or the Falcons to go 0-17 to be the first people or the first teams to go 0-17 in NFL history because the first chance they had to lose 17 games. You heard it here first from Dave Van Robey's house at the Dutch Oven in Lethbridge, Alberta. 1420 podcast. Get all your gambling needs here. Right here where you can get them. I don't know.
Gambling needs, because that's what we're about.
We're all about.
You fucking jinx your ass.
0-17. They'll both win the next three in a row.
Something.
1420 podcast, 4 Beer Wars Sports Talk, and a whole lot more. Number of teams from Major League Baseball seasons, they were done when the season first started. Number of them dwindled down to a precious few that are left to go into the playoffs. Dave, I'm not a big proponent of firing guys mid-season because what's the point? When you're out, but when you're a coach who's in or a manager, whatever you want to call them, who's just dead in the water, you're not coming back next year, your contract's up. Would you, as an owner, would you say, okay, maybe we should just replace you with 15, 20 games left, replace you because you know what? We're going to bring up a bunch of new kids. We don't need to have a losing attitude because I don't care who you are. You could be Anthony Robbins, Mr. Positivity. If you've lost 105 games, it's tough to be positive. Would you not be better off to bring a guy in to finish the season off to maybe for the guys who are up for the last 15 games from the minor leagues? Would you not be better off having a new guy in to say, okay, we're moving forward in a different direction? And would it help a lot for free agents to say, okay, maybe they're moving forward, trying something different and not keeping the same freaking guy who's lost 105 games 4 years in a row?
Yeah, I especially in baseball, I have zero issue canning a guy with 20, 30 games left in the season, in a lost season, because now you're letting the guys know that are playing the last games. Like, we get it. It doesn't mean something, but we want to see what you're about. We want to see your attitude. Are you here for the franchise, or are you here for a paycheck? And what we want to see is people that want to be here, and we don't know who we're going to hire, but we're going to talk to the leaders of the team, and we're going to see what we're going to do to make this franchise better, because we're not here. If you're winning 105 games, you're not within 5 years of a World Series, but you're within 5 years of being competitive. And are you going to compete with us? Is the message I would sell.
Would you bring in, like, let's just use Baltimore's example. They're going to lose 100 games. They've ruined the Yankee season, but anyways, the Yankees ruined the Yankee season, but you got 105 team loss. Would you bring a guy in from the outside who's like a, throw a name, who cares? Jake Winters, who has zero games with the Baltimore Orioles in the organization. Maybe he's a triple A guy, double A guy. Do you bring him up because he might know some of these players, or do you bring someone from the outside with 20 games left to say, okay, here's how I think we should do things? And how would you go about doing that? Because if the culture is the culture, and say in Baltimore, how do you bring someone in that doesn't know what the culture is?
No, like, well, that's what, yeah, you have to, you need a culture setter. Like anytime, like it happens in late August, early September, there's no way I'm naming next year's manager now. It's the third base coach or whoever the fuck you want. Like, just now, this is the acting manager. He can apply for the job if he wants, but we're evaluating now. Like, whoever we are, we might bring in.
See, I don't go keep going, but I got a different take on that, because if your team is 60 and 83, you know that guy ain't coming back.
Yeah, but like, who the fuck is going to sign on for three? No one's coming in and signing on and saying, I want the last 20 games of this and signing on for five more. Because otherwise, like, without 5 years, why would you even do it as a manager? There ain't no way.
Well, who's the guy in Toronto? He signed on. What's it? What is his name anyways?
Charlie Manuel.
Charlie Mans.
He signed in the off season though.
No, but I know that, but I'm just saying, like, if you're a first time manager, I'd sign up for anything to get out of riding the bus to riding on airplanes. I would do that in a heartbeat, because the management knows in June that guy ain't coming back. Management knows that this team ain't working. Management knows that we need to do something different. So would they not be holding behind the scenes applications and interviews like, Buck Showalter ain't working no more, we got to bring somebody else in?
Well, that's when you still have a chance. Like, or like, you know, it happened with St. Louis Blues. It happened with New Jersey Devils back in the day, but those were mid-season before the season was lost.
Would hockey be the only sport where that could work? Because it happened with Larry Robinson with the, I think it was the Devils. It happened with Sutter with the Kings. It happened with Berube with the Blues. Is hockey the only one that could work? Because football, it can't work because it's such a short season. You can't come in 8 games in and change the culture.
No,
or change the defensive schemes, the offensive schemes, whatever it is.
You're right. There's just too much.
Baseball, your roster's your roster, and your pitching staff's your pitching staff. I think hockey is the only sport where a midseason replacement can actually maybe make a difference, because talent is talent. You got four lines. You got and you have a bigger base. You got a lot more games, and you have a bigger base of players that can adjust and go accordingly.
And far more ice time. Without your stars on the ice, right? So I think in hockey, it's like maximizing your advantages and disadvantages and minimizing risk and knowing when to take risk, not so much even within that actual shift, but like during a game. Like, oh, like understanding your mismatches, understanding how that happens, understanding how you're going to take advantage of an opponent's weakness because of certain little things. But like in football, there's just too much, right? There's just too much intricacies to that game that I don't understand.
You got 80 players on your roster that you don't even know who half the guys are.
Right.
And you're depending on the coaches, the assistant offensive coordinator in charge of towels that make decisions that you, okay, man, I'm trusting you.
Whereas in hockey, like, it's such a fluid game. Everybody's at some place on the ice at every time. And like, now we're asking you when you're doing this, instead of doing that, just take a step. It's like literally like just taking a step and looking this way. But in football, like, you got a line coach, like, oh, you can't change your complete blocking scheme. And that's what, like, I feel bad for left-handed quarterbacks, because you almost need your backup to be a lefty too, because that changes your entire blocking.
Because your left tackle, your right tackle mean the world difference.
Right, right. That blind side and the cut blocks coming through the middle. There's just too many variables in a football field.
Is hockey the one sport compared to the other big three where you can get away without having a Hall of Famer win a championship? You know what I'm saying? When St. Louis won theirs, they have a lot of good players. But and when the Kings won theirs, they have a lot of good players. Is Anze Kopitar a Hall of Famer? Probably not. Is Jonathan Quick a Hall of Famer? Probably not. But is hockey the one game, because there's only 25 guys that have to work together, and if the third liner jumps over the boards playing with the first liner, is that the one sport where coaching actually, you have to interchange the players a lot more because it is so fast compared to the other sports where there's a lot more stops and starts?
I agree. Like hockey before any other of the big four is the biggest team game without a doubt. Like, and then football being a close second, because you could have the most complete game. Teams have shown that you can do it with a complete game defense. Baltimore back in the day, that John Gruden, Tampa Bay team, like, defense does travel, and you can do it without a superstar. But
what I'm getting at, Dave, is that football stops and starts, and sometimes every 5 seconds, you could have a whole new group of guys running on the field. Whereas hockey, sometimes you get stuck with a guy on the ice for a minute and a half. You're like, oh, fuck, I got to change something up here. And it's just this guy jumps in here and this guy jumps in there. Where, like, in football, and especially in college football, the first 25 plays are scripted. Everybody knows exactly what they're doing. This is going to do, we're not straying away from that. The other sports, you can't do that. Because you just can't.
Right.
And like, hockey's the one thing that you can't predict where the puck bounces. You can't say, I'm putting these guys out here for this. I'm putting these guys out for here. And baseball, you can't do that. Hockey's the one thing, that's the one sport I don't think you need Hall of Famers to win championships. It helps. It helps a lot. But coaching is a huge thing in hockey for the psyche of your team, to know what each guy is capable of. Whereas football, there's a lot of stops and starts.
Yeah. And you're right. Like, just because the actual scripting of plays in football, trying it, even when you have the better quarterbacks and the audibles and recognizing weaknesses, like your all pro receiver on a switch just got lined up with a rookie in his first game in the league. That's where you're taking your shot. You cannot do that in hockey. Like, you might luck into it where now all of a sudden McKinnon's coming down on a third line, like, got caught on the play and didn't get off the ice in time. And now all of a sudden it's a mismatch, but that's more luck than
coaching.
Right. Than coaching. Like, it's,
but
yeah. Yeah. We're talking the same thing, but like, like, back to my point, I think hockey is far and away the most team-centric sports where everybody has to contribute all the time. And again, at the end of the game, it doesn't come down to a kicker missing a field goal. Like, in the playoffs, it's just like we keep going. We just keep playing.
Yeah.
Someone scores a goal. There's no luck. There's no wind. There's no rain. There's no, and you know what? And there might be a shitty bounce at the end of the game because that's what sport is.
That's exactly it. We talk about how coaches, like in baseball, with 15, 20 games left, replace the manager, start a new culture. Let's go the other way. USC fired Clay Helton 2 weeks ago, two games into the season. Wasn't working. It hasn't been working for a long time at USC. I'm near and dear to my heart. I go down there year after year and watch the Trojans play. But let's not be Trojan-centric here. When you fire your coach, football coach, or any coach, 10% into your season, you knew he wasn't worth a shit when the season started. Why would you let your coach open the season when you knew you were going? Because every coach gets hired to get fired. Every one of them, unless your name is Scotty Bowman. Every coach gets hired to get fired. Why would you, 2 games into football season, 10 games into hockey season, 10 games into basketball, 10 games into a baseball season, why would you fire your coach when you knew in your heart of hearts that he wasn't worth a shit? Why would you start the season with that guy?
I think there's a lot of weight has to be put to the phrase cautious optimism or just optimism. Like this fella at USC, like they wanted him to do well. They wanted him to succeed. Otherwise, you wouldn't let him go through like all these 7-3, 8-2 seasons because you're USC. You're like you're supposed to be a big player. And then they tell themselves, the board of directors, the Pac-12 is down, but it's just a thing. But now all of a sudden it's 5-10 years. You're not even competitive in the shittiest the power conference in the country by far.
Yeah.
And then now the boosters are now coming to the boys up top and saying, like, you know, if we don't see change, we're going to start pulling money away. And after those first two losses, that especially like just getting pumped by Stanford, which wasn't even a game. It was awful.
Fuck, I hate Stanford.
No, I like Stanford. I like USC too.
It's not fair. Stanford's not fair to be that smart and that good at athletics. It's not fair. Really not fair. No, it's a joke to me and my brother. It's just Stanford. Like, Jesus.
You're smart,
you can play football? Thanks. Yeah.
But like, what smart kids play football these days, right? Like, aside from Stanford, right? I don't know. And I guess Harvard and Yale has football teams too. So, but not what like are you going to do?
The coaching is, it's a fickle thing and it's not so much coach. And I do believe that roster management and the roster construction has a lot more to do with coaching than people think. That you could have 14 Hall of Famers on your team. If they aren't jiving, then they ain't jiving. You look at, I don't know if you saw, you were away in the weekend, but I don't know if you saw on Saturday night when Tatis Jr. and Machado were at each other's throats a little bit. Can having too much talent on your team and not producing be a harmful thing? Because both of those guys are egomaniacs. They're both hot, super talented players. Not winning in year one or year two of the experiment, can that just steamroll all of a sudden you're 6-7 years in and like, okay, we spent $600 million on two players and what do we got?
On that particular situation, I wouldn't make too much of it as a Padre fan. It's disappointing. You thought it was.
Cause that season went sideways quick.
Yeah. But like it's just one of those things. Everybody, you're the flavor of the week, and everybody's so excited and good for you. But no one,
in their defense, nobody saw the Giants doing what the Giants are doing.
100%. Right, so. But they're still 19 games back of the Dodgers.
So they weren't winning anyways.
Yeah, you're not winning anyways. This isn't. Don't blame San Francisco on this. And as talented as they are, and as much as they're trying, at the end of the day, if you don't got winners, if win the games, you got to win, right? Like, I don't know what their record is against the shit teams like
Arizona and Colorado.
Right. You know, I don't know what their records are. But the simple fact they're 19 games back. You don't, at the beginning of the year, I would have picked Padres to probably have a better record than the Jays, but the Jays are there all the time. They're feeding off each other. There's a little bit of something special, the clubhouse camaraderie and all that kind of shit. Maybe it's because the Jays don't have an egomaniac like Machado. Like, I'm not blaming Machado.
No, Dave, you mentioned it. I was listening to, I can't remember what show it was, but Steve Phillips, ex-Mets GM. He's a Baseball Tonight guy and all that, ESPN and everything else. And he says that Jays team, they genuinely like each other. Like, they're actually friends. They get along. They're cheering for each other. They get along quite well. He said, and then somebody asked, he said, what, like, the 2015-16 Jays? Said, no, they were an older group. They were in it for themselves, and they saw that, you know, dollar signs were ahead of them for another contract with a lot of those guys. And yes, they won and they're excited, but those boys were in it for themselves. Whereas these Jays, they know they're there for a while and they have a chance to do something special because they're young, and the way arbitration works and salaries and everything else, the Jays,
They have a window and they realize it.
Whereas the 15-16 Jays, they're like, we're here for a short time, not a long time, and I can get a contract out of this. Whereas these Jays think, you know, we might be able to do something. And having a manager who has he don't have a dog in the fight after he leaves the Jays, I think that helps a lot.
Well, you know, and then put that to the Padres, like a fan base that isn't used to success, a franchise that
you're used to losing.
You're used to losing, but like, even though that, like, you've changed all the faces, like, who here knows how to win, right? Like whether it be the person answering the phones or the GM or what, like who there knows how to win? Machado doesn't know how to win. He got one wild card game, right? And then also too, with that little fight that Tatis and Machado had, like, they both speak Spanish and speak Spanish to each other all the time in the dugout. Apparently Machado yelled at him in English.
It ain't about you, bro.
Yeah, I'm yelling at you, but I want everybody here to know exactly what I'm telling you.
It ain't about you, bro. It ain't about you.
Right. It's, and I don't Machado even know what it was. Like, did Tatis deserve that browbeating?
I don't know. I wasn't tuned in the Padres game with that on Saturday night. Who knows? It's just, I think that now that might be a situation where they have a losing mentality. Bring in a coach that, you know, you fuckers, here's how we're doing it next year.
Like a Madden or a La Russa, like, even though I'm like over those guys, but like someone.
Bring someone in and say, okay, here's how we're doing it. And if you don't like it, get the fuck out.
Well, because, like, you know,
I've won. You haven't done anything. You've got Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr. Yes, you guys could probably pay for everything. You guys have more money. You could buy the world. But you haven't really done fuck all. I have. Shut up. And here's how we're doing things next year. And next year, if you don't come in with my attitude, you ain't playing.
Well, like Tony La Russa with the White Sox. Like, and it worked. Shit on him. We
did shit on him. And look what they're doing.
And I still, I don't get it, but clearly that fucker knows what he's doing. Because they're in first place by a bit.
He's my mother's age, and he's going out there and barking orders, right?
And figuring it out, and he got all butthurt when his own player hit that.
Yeah, it's something about something, whatever it was. And
I don't get it. Like, just so that's what I'm saying. But that old man has to get off my lawn. In first place. Yeah.
There you go. And so maybe it's time for these young guys who've been nothing but coddled, because that's this generation nowadays. That's this generation of player. We've been talking about for years. When these kids become professionals, that they ain't going to get it. Now it's these guys who don't get it. It's that, and we've been talking about it for years. Before the podcast, we were even a thing. We talked about back in my day. Now, you know what? It is back in our day, and these kids just don't fucking get it.
You know, and I can see that totally as a baseball manager, like, because in the other sports, there's so many games. So when you're going to sit the first half, like, really, what am I, 8? But it's so few games compared to baseball, where there's so many games. It's like, you know, you have a maintenance day. What do you mean? Like, well, like maybe be on time for the flight tomorrow. I was only 10 minutes late. Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay. You got tomorrow off. Yeah, you got tomorrow off. Don't worry about it.
Here's your bonus structure.
Yeah, exactly. You're still getting paid the same. Like, don't fucking look at me. Just be on time. Yeah. And then like that happens 4 or 5 times. And then all of a sudden guys on the team were like, Jesus fucking Christ, you want me to pick you up? Because a baseball roster is so big as well. What is it, 28 players or
25, but most of them are pitchers. Like there's only 2 position players per, yeah, there's not many players.
And then when you're hanging out, like I would imagine 3 or 4 of the rookies live in the same apartment complex or same condo unit or whatever like that. Just like, send a car. Do you want a car? No, I keep find my way. And then, oh, you're 10 minutes late. Okay. Dress up. You might get a pinch hit in the 9th or whatever.
But you might not.
But you might not. And then that's okay. And there's so many games and opportunities in baseball. I think playing time actually might be a thing for baseball players. I don't know that, but you know, if I was to write
a book. And there's so many inconsequential games, and there's so many guys wanting to play, and so many guys can come up and play, that if you shit the bed on your chance to play and you make a mistake, you ain't playing. You ain't coming back.
You know, and like this whole, I think I would be a dangerous manager too. Like, you know, why was Blow on the bench to start the game? How come we was in left field? And then just say, like, didn't you see his fucking Snapchat last night? That's why.
Oh, yeah.
Ask him. Like, just say shit like that. Just have people tell you, like we're going to teach this fucker a lesson.
Yeah.
Show me everything he does. And then if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Like, you're not wrong. Because how come he didn't start tonight? He is Snapchatting 3:45 a.m.
He'll tell you.
Ask him. Ask him about his Snapchat last night.
His Instagram fucking picture will tell you why he's not playing tonight.
Yeah. He has to get over himself. Start thinking about the team and not himself.
That's right. Anyways, Dave, that's me and you get off our long kind of a conversation. But I think we're right. I don't think we're wrong. I really don't think we're wrong. That it should be players should be held more accountable and everything else. But anyways, 1420 Sports Podcast, 4 Brewer of Sports, talking a whole lot more. Dave, you're out in BC this weekend. Did you bring out the podcast with your buddies?
Yes. And we didn't talk much about it, so they don't listen to it. I do know they don't listen to it. They had some questions about it.
Yeah.
But that's it. They didn't give a fuck about the content.
No, the funny thing is, Dave, that my friends are same as your friends. I have some different ones. You have some different ones. I don't tell anybody we have a podcast.
No, and
it's, not that I'm, no. It's not that I'm embarrassed about it. I don't talk about it.
No, same thing. It's like fantasy football. Like someone asked me, like, are you guys still doing the podcast? Like, yep, we got over $15,000. Holy fuck, do you get any money for that? Nope. So what do you do? And then like I just tell them about the nuts and bolts about it, and then that was it. Like we talked about the podcast in a whatever 72-hour period for about 5 minutes.
That's it. No, and that's the funny thing.
I'm totally cool with that.
No, I am too. I would rather my friends listen to it, but then there's times where I'm glad they don't, because then they would pick me apart even more than they usually do. But it's odd. It's odd that we're over 15,000 download mark and a bunch of things got picked up today. But it's funny that I don't know most people listen to this show. Some, obviously. But I don't. And I appreciate everyone who does listen. We appreciate the following, but I don't talk about it with anybody. I don't. If they ask me, I will bring it up. But I don't socially talk about the show.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
it's not that I'm embarrassed, but I just
not embarrassed. I don't want to talk about it. Just like, you know,
I just don't know how I would broach the subject.
I think having a podcast like you and I do and talking to someone about it is kind of like talking about your fantasy football team.
Worse.
Because
we're looking for listeners.
You're right. Yeah, and I guess too, like you probably don't have a fantasy football team. Sorry, a podcast. But it's more likely you have a fantasy football team than that's a podcast.
Right. Yeah.
Really like which isn't something to be bragging about. Not that we're bragging, but you don't understand.
No, I think our little show is pretty good, Dave. Anyways, 1420 Sports Podcast, 4 Brewers Sports Talk, and a whole lot more. Last night, the Tijuana Titan, placed in front of Blue Jays, the Tijuana Titan. I came with them myself.
I like it a lot.
Dave,
have
you been to Tijuana?
I had never been to Tijuana. I've flown over to Tijuana.
I almost went once when I was in San Diego. I was going to walk over, and I just didn't. Temptation didn't get the best of me that day. Anyways, the Tijuana Titan.
But do you know why? Because you're already, the United States is Canada, it's Mexico. Everything's cheaper.
Yeah.
Beer's cheaper.
Yeah.
The you're by the water, you're doing things in the States you can't do in Mexico. Cheap beer, cheap smokes, more partying, right?
Yeah, so, there wasn't any more. I couldn't have done any more partying than I did when I was in.
Yeah, were you going to party more in Tijuana than you were in San Diego?
And I was there for a baseball weekend, but there was no basically baseball in Tijuana, so there's no point.
Why would you go?
Yeah, there was beer where I was. It was fine.
Yeah, you needed a tattoo?
I don't have a tattoo.
Well, that's why you didn't go to Tijuana.
Thank God if you go to Tijuana, I would have got a tattoo.
Would have had a tattoo.
Anyways. The Tijuana Titan, Alejandro Kirk, Jay's catcher. Last night, he lost his wristband, not a cheat sheet, but Cole's notes, because he said it wasn't cheating. He dropped his out of his wristband behind home plate, and Kiermaier slid into home plate, picked it up. It went to the raised brass. It's not illegal to have a cheat sheet. Let's rephrase that. It's not illegal to have Cole's notes. This isn't high school. They can have it. That's why they have signals. If Kirk didn't have the Cole's notes on his wrist, the bench would have been calling balls and strikes and what, or calling pitches, what curveball, slide, or whatever he wanted. But did Kiermaier do the right thing by taking that and not giving it back to the Tijuana Titan, or did it screw up, or was it a smart move on the Rays' behalf to maybe screw up Kirk's and the Jays' perception of the game?
There's an absolute huge...
It's gamemanship.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a huge gray area. Like, kudos. Like, I wouldn't even know if the Rays brass would have known what to do with it at that moment. But given that, and being able to give it to the analytics...
The nerds.
Nerds at that organization, which I clearly love saying that
word, nerds.
No one has analytics figured out better than the Tampa.
They're right there, them and the Dodgers. Nobody. Yeah.
Like, once that's in their hands, then they're screwed. So the fact it was laying on the ground, you knew as a ball player, the guy sliding into home and being called out. All you know is that's something that fell out of the catcher's pocket, and you're not giving it back. Wouldn't give it back. There's ain't no chance. I don't know if I would have looked at it at that point. I don't know if I would have put it in my pocket. It might have been, you know, like his side piece, his phone number, and you were going to Snapchat her later on.
That's a very good point. Like, when you see something, I mean, in baseball, I've been on minor league fields and set in the Wimble fields. Do you see something on the ground? I usually just say, hey, man, you dropped this.
You just put it in your pocket.
I put it in my back pocket as an umpire. I don't care. And after the game, whatever. Like, you wonder if Kiermaier looked at it, at what point he looked at it and goes, oh, this is his little suspect.
I think there's a good chance he didn't realize what he had until he took his pants off after the game. Like, that almost might have gotten washed, right? Because he just got called out. You just man, fuck. I don't know the answer to that. I really don't.
At what point does Kirk go, oh, Jesus, fuck, I lost that, my Cole's notes about how to pitch this guy or that guy and do whatever's got to happen. At what point does he go, I got to tell somebody about this?
I don't know. Like, it wouldn't be until the next inning when he's putting his gear back on, because that's the next time he has to reference it. So the timing was like, if
so he must have went
out of the inning.
Okay, so he, let's say he batted that inning, he lost it, doesn't know he didn't have it, goes back to the dugout, puts his gear on, looks at his wristband, little flapper thing, and goes, oh, fuck.
Especially Dap, because he would be taking the warm-ups and stuff like that. You would assume it's in your flap.
This is really shitty. I'm a major league catcher. I'm a Tijuana Titan. I don't really have a long career ahead of me, and I fucked this up, and oh boy. And do the Jays have a photocopy just in case?
Oh, for sure, without a doubt. They have one or two copies in there. Like the maybe like you sweat on it or whatever. They do have maybe even more than one wristband already mounted or something like that.
Let's make this very clear, Dave, that what they were doing was not cheating. Because like I said, if Kirk didn't have a wristband and he wasn't, and there was, he's new to the big leagues, he played a little bit last year, he's been up this year. If he couldn't memorize what each batter could do, he would look at the dugout and the manager or the pitching coach would be calling pitches. So they're not cheating by any means.
Oh, no, without a doubt. And even on that note, probably I would imagine on that sheet, there is like waving off singles and what we do here and what we do there, because he's not the everyday catcher. Like maybe one every four games he's behind the plate. He's a DH catcher, right? And it's just because you got to carry a second catcher because you need a second catcher.
This late in the season, absolutely. What do you think? Is it Charlie Montoya?
Yeah.
What do you think after the game, Montoya walked up to Alejandro Kirk and in Spanish so nobody else could, the reporters couldn't hear. What do you think he would have said to his catcher? Like, fuck, man. Like, Jesus.
You know what? As Montoya, like when you look at that clip, I don't think it is the catcher's fault. It kind of fell out. You see how it fell out. It strikes me as kind of odd that it was folded. I would think it would be on a sheet like you see on a quarterback's arm. So I don't quite understand that. I don't quite understand how it jarred loose. And then I don't quite understand how Charlie Montoya probably didn't even know until he saw that clip.
You don't think Kirk would have been Skip? You know that Cole's notes I have? I lost it.
Is there any honor on
the pitch? I don't know.
I honestly have zero clue of actually when it would have been noticed.
Or is it your son Jasper in grade 4 or 5, whatever it was? I don't know where that is, and I've never had it in my pocket. Or is it that?
You mean that? No, for sure, no. It's all about. I think the catcher, I think the Tijuana Titan really gets to come away with this a little bit blameless. He did nothing wrong. Like, unless he was holding it in his teeth, maybe. I don't know. Like I say, when...
We got to hashtag that Tijuana Titan. I like that a lot.
Same. That's a good handle.
From the Baja Peninsula.
When you see that, but what if he's from... Cabo Del Rio or
no, I did read it. He's up from Tijuana, the Baja. I read that. I wouldn't
just okay, good
update. 1420 podcast. If we're not about, we're all about truth,
yeah, but we don't mind a good handle either.
We're all about fact checking as well.
The only way the Tijuana Titan gets in trouble if he was storing it in some careless manner.
Yeah.
But it, like, once again, we're like, it's just the guy slid in, and it was a weird play too. The Blue Jay was kind of tossing it in from first base. Like, I don't know what this Kirkmeyer was doing.
It's
a weird play all around.
It's going to be an interesting last, we're down to 10 games for the Jays and the Yankees and the Red Sox for the two wild card spots. I suspect the Jays and the Red Sox are going to make it just the way their schedules line up. The Jays have six with Minnesota and three with the Yankees and three with Baltimore. The Jays are probably going to get the wild card spot, and I believe that the Red Sox will as well.
Well, can't blame Aaron Boone. All he's doing is managing the players he's given, right?
Yeah, there you go. Dave, I listened to, we'll get off that Tijuana Titan, but I listened to a podcast the other night. Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast. I'm not sure where these cats are from. They have a lot of 80s stuff, a lot of just topics right up mine, your wheelhouse. When you guys get a chance to check it out, I've retweeted it and put it out on our Twitter account and Facebook accounts, everything else. But the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast. And they did a review of Huey Lewis and News Sports. 1983 originally came out. Probably my favorite album of all time. Nobody dislikes Huey Lewis. And we won't do a who is better tonight, Dave, but let's do a mini who is better. The three albums, we'll do a little homework, a little research to cut this show now, but we'll get into it on Thursday night. Which album is better, Dave? And we can go Born in the USA, Bruce Springsteen. You got Huey Lewis and News Sports and Purple Rain by Prince. Three albums were up pretty much the same time back in 83. Sports came out. The other two were 84, late in the year and everything else. That's three iconic albums. If you were to do no research whatsoever right now, Dave, and just off the top of your head and just with your personal favorite, I guess we could say, out of the three, which one is better? Sports, Born in the USA, or Purple Rain?
Purple Rain 1, Huey Lewis 2, Born in the USA, a distant third.
Distant third, eh?
A distant third. I love
both. You're a big Prince guy. I'm a big Huey guy.
I loved Huey, and like, you know, and that's kind of when I knew we were friends, because I was a big Huey guy. Like, I remember, like, I love Huey Lewis.
That was a leading point for you. Like, okay, that guy likes Huey Lewis. I like him.
Well, like, you know, you like people that like shit you like, that's right? Like, that's right. You know, and then that's just a thing, right? I didn't discount the fact you were a Yankees fan at that point either.
There,
right?
You go.
But like, when it's what you do when I'm not around, and you like to do something that I do when I'm not around, like listening to Huey Lewis, like, oh, that's it, we'll put a check in the pro.
And this is an okay book. So
yeah,
for Thursday's homework assignment, Dave, we'll do a little research on all three of those albums. We'll go 1 through 9 or 1 through 12, whatever it is. And we'll say which song is better. We won't go 1 to 4 and then down to 1. So song 1 in each album, song 2 in each on its way through. And we will decide which is a better album.
Okay. No, I'm up for that. And I'm a big fan of The Boss as well. I don't like how this is going to come out for him.
But, you know, out of the three albums, Glory Days, If This Is It, and Let's Go Crazy, I think, are the three big ones, right?
Wow, no, Purple Rain's the big one.
You think Purple Rain's better than Let's Go Crazy?
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, Jesus. Acid Rain's not a very good song, Dave. This is going to be quite the conversation on Thursday night.
Oh, like, I Would Die For You. That song riffs a ton of ass. I like that. Well,
that song's not. That song is not better than Glory Days.
It is.
We might have to dedicate a whole segment or a half, two segments or three segments to this exact topic.
You got to remember, though, too, like when that came out, that was the kind of genre I was in and the Prince thing. And so, like, I'm in high school and I get it. I get it. Now I get Bruce a lot more than I did back in that time in the formative years.
Yeah.
But like, but the synaptic mills in my brain have already been hardwired.
But you know who has stood the test of time throughout the entire time? Huey Lewis.
Oh, if this is it, man, like, I don't even want to know. Oh,
number six played over and over again. That's my favorite. I love that song. Oh, I love it.
Well, so do I.
Man, Huey's just, wow. Anyways.
And walking on a thin line?
Straight off the front line. Labeled as freaks loose on the streets of the city. Huey Lewis in the news. I don't think it's close, personally, but anyways. 1420 podcast for Beer and Sports, talking a whole lot more. Do your homework for the guys, let people listen at home. What you think the better album is, Purple Rain, Sports, or Born in the USA. Also get back to us about anything we talked about tonight, coaches and everything else. Dave, fun show tonight. We ramble a little bit longer. We usually do on Tuesdays. Thursday should be interesting, getting down to the nitty gritty on the Sports, Purple Rain, and Born in the USA.
Yeah, no, no, I welcome it because I don't think I've ever looked at the, it's three of my favorite albums from that time in my life.
That's gonna be a tough one.
And then it's really gonna, to see what songs line up with what song.
1-1, so, 2-2, 3-3.
Right. Like it's just a random
process of elimination.
Yeah,
it's, and whoever has the most best at the end of her, that's who wins.
And we'll figure it out, and then we might have some exemptions once and I see it, and we'll sing like I want to put this song against this song, or something. I don't know. I'm not gonna for sure want to see where songs line up.
It's gonna line up good. I think it's gonna be a fun show on Thursday night. Anyways, take care of each other. But more important, take care of yourself because we need you around. Keep your stick on the ice, Dave. What else?
My headphones just clacked out. What?
Take care of yourself. More importantly, take care of yourself. Keep your around. Keep your stick on the ice, and what else, Dave?
Jim, don't swing at high pitches.
There we go.
I figured like it clicked out literally the millisecond before.
Right. When I said take care of yourself, you were like, I'm only here for myself. So
yeah, whatever. I was just looking around and doing like a
mouse, whatever. Good show tonight, Dave. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Don't swing at high pitches, Jimmy. Siri, play Sports 20 podcast on Google Play. Please.
There we go. Huey Lewis, if this is it, please let me know.